and we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you're going to speak to each and every one of us and help us to know what is right in your sight and what is wrong. And so that we don't fall into the same trap that God's people in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament, has fallen into. Lord, I pray that you open our eyes, that we can see, and help us to walk in it, and help us when someone tells us that we are wrong, and help us to be humble, and confess it, and renounce it, so that we can find compassion and mercy from you. And help us not to oppose the truth, and help us to humble ourselves. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Heather, could you read Romans chapter 2? Romans chapter 2.
You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?
So what's the problem that the Jewish people has? In Romans chapter 1, starting verse 18, all the way to 32, Paul talk about the wickedness of the Gentile, starting verse 18 all the way to 32. And now Paul talk about the sinful nature of the Jewish people, the God people, that who receive God's word, and yet their life hasn't been changed. And in God's judgment will fall upon them based upon God's truth. It's not based upon how they judge others. So what kind of wrong that they have done? Heather, could you read it one more time? And then I want to ask Joshua the question. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 4.
You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?
Okay, right beside verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. What kind of thing that they have done wrong by passing judgment on another, and yet who are they? Chapter 2, verse 3. Joshua? Who are they? Yeah. Are they men or are they God?
They're just
mere men, right? So I want you to write beside me a man, you write James, chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. Could you read that? Romans 2, 3, right beside me a man. It's just me a man. It's not judge. It's not God. You write chapter 2, verse 3, you write on James. 4:11-12. So, who can judge? Heather, could you read that? James chapter 4, verse 11-12.
Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge a law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?
So in other words, Paul saying that you are just a mere man. You are not a judge, right? So who is the judge? Joshua, do you know who is the judge? God's the judge. But will he judge us? Will he judge us? You say God is the judge. You say God is the judge, okay? Will he judge us? Yes or no? Yeah, but in the Bible, did God say that through Jesus Christ, he will not judge us? He gave that authority to Jesus Christ. Would you please go to Gospel of John, chapter 5? That's the thing that the Jewish people, they don't understand. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 22. Could you read that, Etta?
Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son.
So who would be the judge? Jesus Christ. I want you to write it down, right beside Gospel of John 5:22. You write down Gospel of John chapter 12, 47 to 50. And Jesus said, I won't judge you. My word will judge you. So right beside God is the judge. The only judge in John 5:22, isn't it? And then you write down 12. Gospel of John chapter 12, verse what? 47 to 50. Could you read that? In the Old Testament, we see that God is the only judge on the earth. And then in New Testament, Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 22, God gave that judgment, that authority and power given to Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at that very, very carefully. Did God give the judge, give the authority and power to Jesus Christ? And Jesus Christ is our Savior too. If you confess your sin and renounce it, he asked the judge to forgive you. Jesus Christ the judge, right? He said, I will forgive you. Right? Then you are set free. So that's why. There's only one people can save you. He's the Savior. He's the judge. If you have done something wrong, if that judge is your father, and he said he forgive you, then you are set free. Do you understand? He's the Savior. He paid for the penalty. Now you are set free. That's why we have to believe in Jesus. Based upon Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 22. Babina, could you read that? 5:22, one more time, loudly.
Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgments to the Son.
All judgment to the Son. That Son is Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, could you go and read? 12, Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 47 to 50.
As for the person who hears my word but does not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my word. That very word which I spoke will condemn him to the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say.
So Jesus Christ didn't come here to judge, although God gave him the power and authority to judge. The Father judges no one. The Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son.
And yet, in Gospel John chapter 12, verse 47, as for the person who hear my word but does not keep them, I do not judge him, although God give him the power to judge. Jesus say, I don't judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save it. He come here to be a savior. If you refuse to accept him as a savior, at the same time as a judge, in verse 48, there's a judge. There is a judge for the one who reject my, who reject me and does not accept my word. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. Not now, at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father has sent me, commanded me what to say and how to say. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. So at first in the Old Testament, I see that God is the judge. And then in the New Testament, I see that Jesus Christ is the judge. And then I keep on seeing that the Word is the judge. The Word is the truth. That's why Paul saying that when God judges us, he's going to base upon the truth, based upon God's word. You right here, you write on John 5:22, right beside here, word, the truth, you write on John 12:47-50. And then you write a chart, God the Father. He gave that authority to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to his word. So that's why when Jesus judge us, he gonna judge us based upon his word. For those who are saved by Jesus, what's the word that God gonna judge us? I want you to write it down. 1 John 1:9. I want you to remember that, because in the future, when Jesus Christ judges us, he's going to say, I am righteous judge. I am faithful. Whoever confess his sins and renounce his sins, and I'm going to cleanse all his unrighteousness, and I'm going to forgive him based upon his word. So based upon 1 John 1:9, we are set free. You understand? Because when he judges us, he's going to judge us based upon what we say. What are you going to say to Jesus when you come to Jesus? Marina, why should I set you free? What would you say? Based upon 1:9, Gospel of John, 1 John. You turn to 1 John. You read that first.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
What does it mean by his faithful? Whatever he says, he's going to do it. That's what he means faithful. Right? And what does it mean by his judge? He's just. He's righteous. You either lean on his faithfulness based upon what he's saying, based upon the penalty he paid for. Then he say, God, when I have done something wrong against you or against any person, I confess my sins. I don't cover it up. And I ask you for forgiveness. And I know that you're a faithful God. The sins that I sins against you and against all other people, I have confessed already, based upon your faithfulness, based upon God's truth. Would you please forgive me and cleanse me all my unrighteousness and set me free? You know what would Jesus say? Jesus Christ say to you? What would he say to you? He let you go or didn't let you go? He let you go.
That's why we have to believe in Jesus. He's the judge. And he's the one who set you free. And he's the one who paid for the penalty. Would you please read that? You say, why is that easy? I confess my sins and then I'm set free? No. He paid for the price. He paid for the penalty. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. He's not only be the judge, he's the atoning sacrifice. He's the mediator between God and sinful person. Could you read that?
My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
He is the atoning sacrifice. He paid for that mistake. As long as we ask for it. Right? That's why. Before I come to know Jesus, my mother lead me to a temple. I worship idol, Buddha. Buddha didn't die for me. He wasn't resurrected either. Right? So he can't save me. But my Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for my sins. And 3 days later, just like what he has said, he resurrected and he lived forever. Okay? That's the reason. Now, go back to Romans chapter 2. Those people, those Jewish people, are just a mere man. And yet, because they have the law, they have God's word, they know what is right, they know what is wrong, and then they pass judgment on other people, and yet do the same thing. And Paul saying that, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? We won't. The Jewish people has a misunderstanding, thinking that when they receive God's law, Ten Commandments through Moses, they thought when they receive God's Ten Commandments through Moses, they are better than the Gentile. That's why they pass judgment on the Gentile, saying that we are like a dog, we are like a pig, we are unclean. By passing judgment on the Gentile, or by passing judgment on other people, and yet they themselves do the same thing, they won't escape God's judgment. Now, how can we escape God's judgment? Jason? Do you hear what I just said to Ravina? How do we escape God's judgment? Speak louder. We are recording. Confess your sins. To who? To God. And what else? How come by confessing your sins that your sin will be forgiven? Emily? How come? Because in the end Jesus judges you. But if I have done something wrong, I sinned against him, how come he's not judging me? Because of what? How can he rescue us out of the law? We live under the law, under the judgment, and how can we escape out of the law? If you have a speaking ticket for $150, you still have to pay for it. Either you pay for it or your parents pay for it, right? Am I right? Someone has to pay for it. pay for your penalty, pay for your sin. Who paid for it already? Huh? Jesus Christ, right? So he's the judge. He's the atoning sacrifice. He sacrificed for me and died for me, the righteous for the unrighteous. And he can say to me, I'm the judge. I pass over you. I rescue you. I set you free. All right? But the Jewish people, they don't understand that. They don't know that Jesus Christ is their atoning sacrifice. They thought being the teacher, being the rabbi, being the person who judge others, passing judgment on other people, and they don't know that. By doing so, they are condemning themselves. Etta, could you read that? Chapter 2, verse 1 to 4.
You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?
You know what? I don't care whether you're Gentile or you are Jews. If you're a Gentile, 1:21, you have no excuse also. And chapter 2, verse 1, if you are Jews, you have no excuse too. We use all kind of excuse. Oh, I'm a Gentile, I don't know the law. I don't know God's word. So I don't know that he will judge me. Right? We say that. And Jewish people say, I have the law. I know what's right, what's wrong. And when I see that you have done something against the law, I pass judgment on you, and yet I'm still doing the same thing, and I thought I can escape judgment. That's no excuse. Because when God judges us, he's going to judge us based upon what? His word. That's the truth. 120. You write that down. 120. No excuse. The Gentile has no excuse. And then 2:1. The Jewish people has no excuse. When we face judgment, I tell you, no one can find any more excuse. I don't care whether you are Jewish or you are Gentile. Okay? Chapter 1, 18 to 20. Etta, could you read that?
The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse.
God revealed his divine nature. God revealed his eternal power through the creation of the whole world, so that men can understand that God can judge us according to his truth. And yet we Gentiles suppress the truth by our wickedness. But when we see, when we face the judgment seat of Christ, all Gentiles are without excuse. They will be condemned. Unless they confess the sins and open their heart and ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart to live a new life. You understand what I'm trying to say? As far as the Gentile is concerned, you and me. We Chinese, Indian, we are all Gentile in God's sight. Okay? But where's the Jewish people? Jewish people are different. Because according to Psalm 147, verse 19 to 20, if I remember right, God gives the law not to Gentile, but God gives the law to the Jewish people, to the people of Israel. And And so that's why when God judges people, God's going to judge us according to His word, according to the truth. Heather, could you read that? Psalm 147:19-20.
He has revealed His word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know His laws. Praise the Lord.
God has revealed His law, that means His word, to Israel, right? But what God has revealed to us, Gentile? Based upon 1:18-20, what God has revealed to us? God's wrath. We know God's wrath. What else? His divine nature. It is what? His eternal power. Through His creation, we look at the universe. Wow. Awesome. That must be a powerful God. He said, I don't know. How can you know? How can you not know? He make it clear to us. He revealed to us. So God revealed His creation to the Gentile. And God created His law to the Israel. And based upon that, we have no excuse and not to know. God going to judge us. Do you hear what I say? Is it fair? I think it's fair. If He did not reveal it to us, you say, how come I don't know that? He revealed that to me, how come I don't know that? Because you suppress the truth by your wickedness. Because you've done something wrong, you don't want to face judgment, you say, there's no judgment. But in reality, there's judgment. You understand what I'm trying to say? You just suppress the truth. God revealed His truth of creation to Gentile. And God revealed His truth of His law to the Jewish people. And we all know, both Gentile and the Jewish people, know that God's wrath will come to those who are wicked. Unless the wicked people confess the sin and believe in Jesus Christ and renounce the sin. And ask Jesus Christ to enter into His heart and to start a new life. That's how we born again to be saved. You understand? That's why we baptize in Him. Remember that you baptize? Yeah. And then once you baptize, you start learning God's word. That's how we learn. That's how I learn. Not before baptize. After baptize. Then you start learning. You start understanding. Because you become God's child. So, what if I don't understand? You know, you will understand. Just like a baby born to be able to drink milk. They're born with that, you know? So once we become a Christian, we're born with that capacity, ability to understand God's word. It's amazing. Before, we don't understand. Now we gradually understand. Okay? So now, next time you know it, when you share the gospel to your mother, say, I didn't read the gospel. You say, you baptize first, you believe in Jesus first, confess your sin first, and gradually come to the Bible study, you gradually understand. That's how I come to know Jesus. You, in the same way too. I'm not deceiving you, right? It's amazing. It's that simple. No magic to it. It's by faith. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourself. Salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is not by works, not because of what you have done. It's just because you believe in Jesus. You have done nothing. He has done everything. Salvation is not by work, so that no one can boast. I'm saved because I'm good, I'm better than you. No, we are all sinners, both Gentile and Jewish. God revealed His truth to the Gentile by His creation, by His eternal power, by His divine nature. And God revealed His divine nature, His eternal power, through His law, through His word. So we are all in equal footing. We say, I don't know that you're going to judge us. I don't know that God's wrath is going to come upon the wicked people. You have no excuse to say that. You can't say you don't know. All right? And then chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same thing. In other words, by passing judgment on other people, and yet you do the same thing, doesn't escape the judgment of God. So in other words, I don't care whether you are a teacher or you are a student. I don't care whether you are a pastor or elder or deacon or just a young believer. Whatever we do, God is going to judge us according to what we do. Verse 2. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based upon God's truth. God is going to judge us based upon His word. And one is right there, right beside truth. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 47 to 50. It's amazing, you know, when I read the book of Romans, when Paul writes the book of Romans, Gospel of John hasn't been written yet at that time. And yet, Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit. He knows that God's judgment against sinful people, God's judgment is based on truth. It's based upon truth, because that's what Jesus said. My word is going to judge you. Verse 3. So when you, a mere man, we are not a judge, we are not God, we are saved by grace through faith. When you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? The answer is no. We will not escape God's judgment. The only way we will escape God's judgment, I want you to write it down. You write down 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. That's how you escape God's judgment. 1, 9, 2, 1 and 2. Do you think you will escape God's judgment? How do I escape God's judgment? Based upon 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I confess my sin. I renounce my sin and ask Jesus Christ to forgive all my sin and cleanse all my unrighteousness. And then I write it down, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Jesus Christ is the mediator. He's the advocate. He's my attorney. He's my lawyer. He speaks on my behalf. He says, Father, forgive him, for he does not know what he's doing. Besides, when I die on the cross, I die for him. That is the fellow that I die for him. Father, set him free, please. Father say, I'm glad to do it. You understand? Isn't it good to have an advocate like that? I believe in Buddha. How can Buddha say on my behalf? You don't even know my name. In the Bible say, in Gospel of John chapter 10, I'm a good shepherd. I die for my sheep. My sheep recognize my voice. And I lead him. He follow after me. You know my name? Your name is John Lamb. You're Christopher, right? Christopher Wong, right? That's it. Jesus knows that too. You see that? If you don't know Jesus, then he's going to say to you, maybe I don't know you. Or then you're in deep trouble. You know what I mean? So now that we have become a Christian, we get to know Him more. We got to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get to know Him more. Know what He wants. Know what He requires of us to do. Know what pleases Him. Know what displeases Him too. So that we shun evil. We don't do the thing that is pleasing. Right? Right. Verse 3 again. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape judgment? By doing so, we won't escape judgment. Only when we confess our sins. Only when we ask Jesus to enter into our heart. To receive Jesus Christ. To be God's Son. To be my Savior. To be your Savior. To be the Son of God. Then you will escape God's judgment. Because that's the only way to escape God's judgment. Because Jesus said in Gospel of John chapter 14 verse 6, I am the way, no other way to escape. It's by confessing and have faith in Jesus. Confess your sins and have faith in Jesus and follow Him. Okay? And believe in Him. And that's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Verse 4, or do you so contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? In other words, right after we come to know Jesus, baptized into Jesus, although we understand a lot of God's word, God's truth, and yet from time to time, we still sin against God. And God showed His mercy, kindness, tolerance, patience, trust us, and hasn't judged us yet. Only disciplined us. The reason for that is to lead us towards repentance. So repentance, that was not only for the wicked people, also for Christians, that who are God's son. And yet, from time to time, we still sin against God. What do you mean by from time to time we still sin against God? I want you to write it down, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. There's no such person who always does what is good and never sins. You can, after you become a Christian, you can get rid of a lot of wicked things, and yet, from time to time, if you're not leaning on the Word of God, if you're not believing in Jesus, following Him, filled with the Holy Spirit, we still sin against God. Ecclesiastes is after Psalm, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Where Psalm, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Could you read that better?
There's not a
you find it? 7:20.
There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins.
There's not a righteous man on earth who does what is right, always does what is right and never sins. No, there's no such person. So that repentance not only apply to non-believer, also apply to what? Believer, right? Right. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 5. Could you read that, Etta? 5 all the way to 11.
But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism.
Okay, I want you to write down right beside chapter 2, verse 5. Circle the word wrath. And then circle the word God's wrath, you write down 118. 118, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wicked men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And chapter 2, verse 5. And because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. Can anyone tell me what does it mean by you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath? So what does it mean? I want you to write it down. Ecclesiastic chapter 8, verse 11. Chapter 8, verse 11, could you read that?
When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong.
So what does it mean by storing up wrath? When we sin against God, will He judge us right away? Will He? Right beside storing up, you write down Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the heart of the people are filled with scheme to do wrong. What kind of heart? Stubborn heart? Unrepentant heart? Because we see that God didn't judge us yet? Probably he think, wow, I don't think God will judge us because God is a good God. He's a loving God. We forget that God is a righteous God. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. In other words, in the great white throne, in the judgment seat of God, in the end time, God will judge each and every one of us according to what we have done, based upon truth. The fact of the matter is, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, God don't judge us right away. Why He's not judging us? Because God's kindness is to lead us towards repentance. Okay? Sometimes we question, especially if we go to a church. If the pastor only talk about God's love, he won't talk about God's righteousness. He didn't talk about God's judgment. And then we don't know that He will judge us. And we keep on sinning. Although the sentence has been pronounced, the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out. Nothing happened. We think that nothing happened. But the fact of the matter is something will happen. Not now. In the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? So, when we realize that we have sins against God and yet God's judgment hasn't come to us, God's wrath hasn't come to us, yes? We bear the change and ask God to have mercy on us. And ask Him to change our life. Chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your stubbornness, that means refuse to be changed, and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. Verse 6. God will give each person according to what he has done, because he is righteous, he is just. To those who by persistent in doing good, seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality, seek the right thing, and do the right thing, God will give you eternal life. Verse 8. But for those
who are self-seeking and who reject the truth. Now, as far as Gentile is concerned, chapter 1, verse 18, Gentiles suppress the truth. As far as Jewish people is concerned, they reject the truth. Both the one who suppress the truth and the one who reject the truth will be judged by God. And God will reveal to him. Who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. You're going to receive what you sow. Verse 8. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jews, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. So in other words, God's judgment is based upon the truth, based upon what we have done. If you do good, you rise to receive life. You done evil, you rise to be condemned. I want you to write it down. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse, I think it's 29. Better.
And come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned.
So it's amazing what Jesus say in Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 29. It's exactly what Paul's saying. Although the judgment haven't come yet to the wicked people, but in due time it will come. But the fact of the matter is, since it hasn't come yet, and we thought there's no judgment, and that's not true. The reason why there's no judgment, God's kindness leads us to repent. You understand? God's kindness, chapter 2, verse 4. God's kindness leads us towards repentance. We turn around before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you recall that Jesus tell us that parable in Matthew chapter 5? I want you to go back. Matthew chapter 5, verse 25 to 26. I want you to write it down right beside here. Right beside verse 5, chapter 2. Was 5 to 12. Chapter 2, 5 to 12. You write down equal to Matthew. Chapter 5, 25 to 26. Etta, could you read that?
Matthew first?
Yeah. Matthew chapter 5, 25 to 26.
Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny.
What does it mean by settle matter quickly with your adversary? We're going to take you to a court. We're going to go to the court. We're going to face judgment, both Gentile and the Jews. Settle the matter quickly. Before we go to the court, settle. Believe in Jesus. By that time, say, oh, now I know that you are the judge. Now I know that you are my Savior. It's too late. You know what I mean?
do me a favor. I want you.
I know someone, you know, he thinks he's very, very smart, you know. I want you to write it down. Psalm 32, verse 6. Psalm 32, 6 and 7. I want you to write down Psalm 32, 6 and 7 right beside Matthew chapter 5, 25 to 26. You write down Psalm 32, 6 and 7. You're going to settle the matter quickly. You're going to settle the matter quickly with Jesus Christ. Okay? Because he's going to take you to a court. He's going to judge you. Do it while you are still with him on your way. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. That is hell. And I tell you the truth, you will not get out of hell until you pay the last penny. Or you can't pay it back. Because when you die, nothing you can do. And that's exactly Psalm 32, verse 6 and 7 saying, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to God while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty water rises, you will not reach him. You are my hiding place, my refuge, my stronghold, and you will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Seek God now. Don't wait until the judgment seat. Too late. Joshua, do you know what does it mean by surely when the mighty water rise, they will not reach me? What does it mean? Do you remember in the Noah time? When God shut the door, you can't enter into Noah's ark. You enter, but you still can seek him. When the door is open. When is it? Now's the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of his salvation for us. So you want to settle the matter now? You don't wait until tomorrow. Now's the time to settle it. I want you to write it down. Settle the matter quickly. You write down now. Right beside quickly, you write down 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Quickly, today is the time. The author who write the book of Hebrew say the same thing. Today is the day of God's salvation. Don't wait. Don't borrow time. Tomorrow you may not have the time. So whatever sins we have done, I think we better confess it before we go to bed. Okay? And ask him to help us. Settle the matter. Once you confess it, you settle. When you settle the matter, you don't have to pay a penny. You don't settle the matter. You will not get out until you pay. Until you have paid the last penny. Make a lot of difference, right? You settle the matter, you don't have to pay a dime, right? If you settle the matter, right? So Wesley, how do you settle it? You pay the last penny, you settle. Yeah, you're not listening to me. Oh, man. Jerry, how do you settle the matter with Jesus? You don't know? Emily? You confess now. You confess your sin. You say you paid the last penny. How many penny you have, Wesley? You don't have much. Do you know what I mean by it?
Do you know what does it mean by you will not get out until you have paid the last penny? That means you can't, you cannot afford to pay for it. You'll be broke. The pie is so hefty. No way you can pay for it. You understand? How can you settle the matter with Jesus? Yeah. Don't say you pay for that. Can you? Salvation by work? By your own strength? Is it? Yes or no?
Yes.
What do you mean yes? Are you with me or you're not with me? Are you watching a computer game or what?
I'm with
you. You're with me. Tell me what have you learned today, or are you trying to scam me off? Wesley, you scam me.
You have to be confessed with Jesus, you can't
actually get out. Okay. So when should I confess?
Everyone
who does. Whenever I sin against God, right? Ask him to be merciful to me. Say, Lord, especially in Romans chapter 2, I see that, you know, because of my stubbornness, because of my unrepentant heart, I'm storing up God's wrath. I say, Lord, I don't want to store up God's wrath. I want to store up, you know, grace and mercy. I don't want to store up God's wrath because I can't take it. Too much for me. Could you have mercy on me? Change my life and help me to live a life for you instead of storing up God's wrath. Chapter 2 and verse 7, I prefer to store up glory, honor, and immortality. And Jesus Christ is going to give me eternal life. I don't want to store up God's wrath. I don't want to reject the truth. I don't want to follow evil. So help me, God. I don't want to be self-seeking. I want to seek after you. I don't want to see trouble and distress. Because there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Okay? Verse 12. So I want to stop here first. I wonder, wow. Gabriel, do you understand what I say? So what Jewish people has done wrong that you learn based upon today's lesson? What have they done wrong? Okay. What caused them to be stubborn and unrepentant? What did he do that caused him so stubborn? When someone is stubborn because he knows something, he thought that is right. What made him so stubborn? Do you know? Joyce? What made Jewish people so stubborn?
Because they have the law.
They have the law, and yet?
They reject the truth.
And they reject the truth. They have God's word. They reject God's word. And they see that judgment, God's judgment hasn't come. And how come you, pastor, tell me God's judgment? I didn't see God's wrath yet. And you tell me God's wrath will be revealed to me. You say that I'm storing up God's wrath and God's anger. I don't like it. That's why he put Jesus Christ on the cross. You understand? So what's wrong with the Gentile? Family? What do they have?
Jesus.
Oh, I'm glad you say that. Of course, I have Jesus. Okay, now. You tell me, Gabriel. What? Oh, it blew my mind already. Thank you very much, okay, Emily?
Okay.
than Jesus. God has given his commandment, Ten Commandments, God's law to the Jewish people. What has God given to each and every one of us, the Gentiles? The creation of the world. We know that he's the creator, Jesus. I know he's the creator, too. I know that. You know, more or less, you know, if you answer any question, Jesus, you more or less get the free answer anyway. You know what I mean? You know? Because he's everything, you know? Oh, come on. So the Gentile, we look at the creation, we know God's love will come upon us. We know that God righteousness. We know God divine nature. We know God eternal power. In the same way, when Jewish people has God's law, through the law, through God's word, we know God is eternal God. He has eternal power, right? And he has divine nature. He's holy God, right? We know that. You either know it through creation or you know it through God's word, the law, right? But the Gentiles suppress the truth. Say that, no, I don't know. I don't know who created it. They keep saying that. What do you mean you don't know? Look at this coffee table. Are you telling me this coffee table is on the patio window? No. This is thicker. A lot thicker. Probably this is safety glass in here. Because designed by engineer or designer. Although you didn't see people make it. It's so smooth because it's worrying about the keeping the knock on the hit the head on the coffee table. By looking at it, you know this is someone designed it. You look at the universe, you say, no, I don't know that. Come on. You know that. You just suppress the truth. That's why Gentile is concerned. And they become stubborn. Right? They exchange God's glory to images like a mortal man, or animal, or reptile, or bird. They exchange God's truth for a lie. Exchange natural relationship for a natural one. And God gave them over. And God gave them judgment. In the judgment seat of Christ. For whereas to the Jewish people, what have they done? They reject the Jew. They have God's word. They know God's word. They reject it. And yet, by passing judgment on another, they can escape. They can escape. Okay? So we Christians have to watch out. We have God's Jew. We don't have judgment on other people. Because by passing judgment on other people, you better do it yourself. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you're going to speak to each and every one of us. Help us to remember what you have told us in both chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Romans, so that there's no excuse for us not to know that you will judge us, not to know that God's wrath will come upon those who are wicked, and God's grace will come upon those who believe in him. And I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.